There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Stormy Bonantoni and Sean King in for the guys. Remember, DraftKings Casino brings you a new era of your favorite games, including blackjack, roulette, slots, plus live dealer table games. And just this week, the DraftKings Casino has paid out some huge wins. One player bet $4.50 and won 41 grand on triple jackpot gems. Another bet $15, won over $30,000 on 777 Surge. A different big winner put $5 down and won over $25,000 on Lock It In Link Nightlife. Download the DraftKings Casino app today. New customers can get a deposit match up to $2,000 in casino bonus funds when you sign up. Download the DraftKings Casino app. Use the code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, to claim the offer. Sean, it would not be college basketball if on a nightly basis one of the top five teams in the country didn't get upset, now would it?
Absolutely right. And it looks like that's worthy of the storm in the court these days.
Oh, you're so bitter. I think it's fun. I don't mind it that Maryland got out of the stands. They are a program that's trying to develop a new culture, have things to get excited about. Obviously, what we're talking about is Maryland upsetting number three ranked Purdue last night, 68-54. But is it an upset? Because yes, while we were having this conversation yesterday talking about the game, they were a two-point underdog. They closed as a 1.5-point favorite in this game. We talked to Mike DeCourcy on the show, and I asked him, can Maryland beat Purdue? He said yes, they do, and the bettors had this one right.
Yes, they did. It was interesting. That one fan came in pretty hot. Like, I'm glad the Maryland player was on his P's and Q's, but you know, it's just kind of been how this season has played out. Road conference games seem to be a huge obstacle no matter who the team is. So, again, we see another highly ranked team. We saw Alabama fall at Tennessee the night before. Subsequently, Purdue falls at Maryland. I don't think it'll be the last. I'm glad the conference tournaments and March Madness are played on neutral floors because road teams have it rough.
Clearly, and to your point, Maryland improves to 14-1 now inside Xfinity Center. It's their first top five win since 2016. And for this Purdue team that started off 22-1, Zach Edey, obviously a huge favorite to win player of the year in college basketball. They've now dropped back-to-back games to unranked opponents, getting upset from Northwestern, and now here Maryland dropped three of their last four games overall. Matt Painter talked a lot in post game about kind of the challenges, like you said, about being on the road in the Big Ten. They are always the hunted. He also mentioned that his team needs to be tougher. So do you think that's the issue? Like, is it a toughness thing or what's wrong with this team right now during this little stretch? I don't know.
You know, Mike DeCourcy said something that was interesting to me as we were going down the list of what I thought a championship caliber team needed, and he added some pieces. And the thing he added was a first round draft pick. And when he got to Purdue, he said that's the one question mark he has, is they don't have an individual player who he thinks is going to be a first round draft pick. So is it a toughness thing, or is it just they have to be at their best because their skill level isn't so great that it can get them through? So I think that's probably more it than anything else, is even though they got the big guy, which gives them a huge advantage, they don't have a whole bunch of future NBA players, you know, running around the campus there at Purdue right now.
Yeah, and in terms of on the court, like the other night, it was turnovers. Last night, it was shooting 7 of 35 from 3 and letting Maryland go on a massive run. I think it was like a 29-4 run that ultimately catapulted them in the second half. Crazy. But the thing with Matt Painter is, like, he wins a lot of games, but he doesn't win when it matters most, it appears. And I know you and Tim Murray talk about these types of things all the time. Like, I wonder what it is for a guy who's been here 18 years, who's got a win percentage that's around 70%, doesn't seem to win when it's most important.
Well, I had St. Peter's money line, so I'm a big fan of Matt Painter because he helped me cash that ticket.
There
you
go.
He would not play both of the big guys at the same time in that game. And that was their huge advantage, you know, over that St. Peter's team, which was smaller, very undersized. So maybe some of it's in-game management. I've heard a lot of people question, you know, Matt Painter when it comes to that specific aspect of coaching. But, I mean, again, I wouldn't write or read too much into this, Stormy. It's a road conference game. We've seen elite teams fall all year in this situation.
They're still the second shortest shot to win it all at 9-1 behind only Houston. By the way, yes, 3 goes down, 2 does not. Houston crushed SMU last night, no problem, 80-65. With a win on Sunday against Memphis, they'll be back in that number one spot, you imagine. So the favorite to win it all and likely number one in the AP poll after the weekend. Today, like, I wanted to talk about, so last night, yes, we see this upset happen. A game that was not an upset was a game that you and I bet. And Arizona was laying double digits. They were a 10-point favorite, bet up to 11.5. Despite having lost to Stanford a couple days ago, you knew that they were going to take out some of their frustrations on that Utah team. Utah beat them in the regular season. It was a revenge spot from their first loss of the year earlier this season. And then just doubling down after the Stanford loss, you knew that they were going to be angry, and they were.
Yeah, I thought they'd be focused. Arizona was 6-0 at the time, Stormy. I think it was December 1st when they played Utah. Utah beat them 81-66, their first loss of the season. And they've dropped a couple games since then as well. Washington State, you mentioned Stanford, to some teams that they just should dominate. And this was an opportunity for them to get some get right. You know, I know it was in the back of their mind that Utah ruined, at the time, what was their undefeated season. So you saw a really spirited effort. Arizona's one of those teams that has size. They have scoring. They have depth. I do question their ball handling at times, but listen, they've risen to the occasion, you know, against a better team. So they're definitely a team that's, you know, on my radar as far as being one capable of winning it all.
14-1 to win it all as of right now. They win last night 88-62, covered any number that you would have got, went 9 of 18 from beyond the arc and outscored Utah 38-20 in the paint. So we talk about this revenge angle. How much do you use that in your betting strategy when it comes to college basketball?
I have factors. Hopefully, the other team's in a letdown spot. I think that's an angle that myself and Tim kind of focus on a little bit more. College basketball, like a team coming off of a big win. Like, I will probably fade Maryland in their next game, you know, coming off of this big win upset of Purdue, thinking that they just can't get back to that emotional pitch, you know, subsequently in this game. But a lot of different factors go into it. I think one of the angles that has really been a good trend this year is home favorites versus ranked teams. Mm-hmm. You know, home teams unranked, playing a ranked team, but the unranked home team is the favorite. So some different angles in college basketball. You know, again, it's just been a wacky year. Like, as much as I try and follow certain trends, I think it's even more important this year because the teams haven't seemed to matter. Like, I don't think there's been, like, a team that's been consistent. So you really do have to look at letdown spots, you know, different situational opportunities that you can find in college basketball.
Yeah, that ranked versus non-ranked thing. I know Josh Applebaum came on the program earlier this week. He talked a lot about that angle, that there has been a decent amount of success with it. And when it comes to the revenge angle, like, we saw that a couple times, even just on display last night, because yes, Arizona lost straight up to Utah earlier this season, and then we're 10.5 up to 11.5 point favorite in this game, winning cover. Gonzaga, similar situation with Loyola Marymount, who they lost to however many weeks back. Like, the performance that they put on this poor Loyola Marymount team last night was insane. In the first half alone, they were up 40 points. In the first half.
Yeah, it was a situation. We've made some money with Loyola Marymount this year. I've made some money fading Gonzaga. This wasn't that spot. Gonzaga was definitely the side for the opening tip.
Yeah, but even as a big favorite, it's just kind of like that, you know, we talked about it with the Kansas City Chiefs. You find ways to motivate. You don't have to find a way to motivate in these types of cases.
Right. Absolutely. So, Gonzaga's a team maybe to watch. I don't think they're as talented as some of their previous teams. I don't think they have that, like, elite, you know, NBA caliber player like they have had. But veteran team, a team that's going to be a tough out come March. Interesting. I think a lot of people like, what is it, St. Mary's to win that conference.
Well, yeah, this year. And they held off San Diego last night, so they are ahead of the Zags in the WCC right now. Gonzaga, yeah, I know what you're talking about with their roster. They do still have Drew Timmy, though, and so it's...
Yeah, he's just old, though. He's not elite.
He's like 80 years old now. There's some awesome games coming up this weekend. We've got number 9 Baylor at number 5 Kansas. You got Iowa State, Kansas State, Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois. Tonight, though, it's just a big mid-major day. So, are you getting involved at all in New Mexico again? They're at San Jose State tonight. We got Wyoming and Air Force going head-to-head. I know how much you love the Mountain West Hoops.
So I want to play Wyoming because of what they did to New Mexico.
You don't think that that would be a letdown after such a big win?
I do in some ways. But again, the New Mexico team had lost 3 in a row. Wyoming gave them their 4th consecutive loss. So I don't know how big a deal that game was for the Wyoming kids. I do think Wyoming's slowly getting healthier. So they're starting to play better. But I have not made a decision yet. I don't have an in-pocket play in college basketball as we sit here at 5:10 a.m. local time.
Man, I thought you were living for that. Poor, like, Wyoming, they went through a brutal stretch.
They did.
How many is that? 4, 5,
I
want to
trust New Mexico, but they burnt me once this week, so I'm probably going to stay away from that part of the stove.
3-12 since December 17th, but they are fresh off that big win at New Mexico.
And they're favored by 4.5.
Well, Air Force isn't great. And the AA, I know this year hasn't been the Cowboys' year, and you said the health issues, but the AA is a hard place to play. Air Force, of course, used to the altitude as well, but that venue, wouldn't people care if they can get people butts in seats? It's fun to watch. Okay, more Follow the Money coming up. Stick around. We got Danielle Trotta, Seth Partnow, Terrence Oglesby, EJ Radek. Great hour and a half still to come.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals.
Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
If you're looking for a betting edge on the NHL, NBA, or college basketball, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with our introductory offer of just $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to the daily recap of top plays made from show hosts and guests, tools like betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the year, where experts break down brackets, top plays, and daily props. Don't miss out, though. It's a limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for just $9.99. That's VSiN.com. Stormy Bonantoni and the Super Bowl champ, former NFL quarterback Sean King on the desk, live from Circa Resort and Casino, filling in for Mitch and Paulie, getting some time off with the football season coming to an end. But just because off the field things aren't on the field, excuse me, things aren't happening anymore off the field, things are moving fast and furious. We have the coaching carousel finally come to a conclusion. Quarterbacks are about to be on the move here. Free agency is upon us, the draft, so much to talk about. And yesterday, Jonathan Gannon was the final head coach to officially be introduced, the new man in town with the Arizona Cardinals. And you are far more critical of his appearance than you have been his thoughts on how to form a football team, Sean.
Well, I think when you become a head coach of an NFL team, you probably should wear a tie. It's just my opinion. You don't think so?
I'm just trying to figure you out, man. Well, okay, well, he might not have been prepared to get dressed for the press conference. He did speak about how he was preparing for this moment. Is that better? Here you go.
I was around a lot of really good guys as I went through the business of, you know, whatever, 15, 16, 17 years. And each person was a little bit different with how they did things. But the blueprint was laid out for me. And I really would want to say I've had a lot of great mentors and a lot of great coaches that I've been around. Nick Sirianni for the last 2 years really prepped me to be a head coach. I truly believe that. I told him before I walked out of the building. And, you know, we're obviously friends because we worked together in Indy, but he was my boss in Philly for 2 years, and he was extremely hard on me, extremely detailed. He's detail-oriented, but he always had my back. And he let me in on a lot of things of how he was running the team and the why behind it. But he gave me a very easy blueprint, which I will put my spin on, but he gave me the blueprint to how to be a head coach. And that's when, for these last 2 years, especially this last year, I was fully confident that I could do this job.
Are you always laughing after we leave a soundbite?
Well, I wonder if he checks his text right now. Sirianni, why didn't you wear a tie? He says Sirianni prepped him to be a head coach, right? How about wear a tie to the press conference, Coach Gannon?
Okay.
Well, okay, outside of that, I told you I like his energy. He seems confident. You notice he makes a lot of eye contact, whereas his other coordinator in Philly, not so much in the Indianapolis Colts press conference, but he did have a tie on, ugly suit, but a tie. So Gannon has his hands full. I think this is a tough job for a first-time head coach. What staff do you get? How do you create culture there? How do you manage trying to create a culture this upcoming season without really being able to invest in the quarterback? Because of what they paid Kyler, he still accounts for, you know, the same amount on the salary cap, even though he's going to be injured. So you can't go out and get like a high-priced free agent. So is this even a season where the organization wants you to win? Maybe it's a let's get a top three pick next year and then a healthy Kyler in year two and see if we can build upon that. Can you convince DeAndre Hopkins to stay and wait on the health of Kyler Murray? I've heard a lot of people internally say DeAndre wants to be traded. He wants an opportunity to try and win a championship. Thinks that window is not there for him in Arizona. So a lot of question marks there. J.J. Watt, who still had a lot left in the tank, probably their best defensive player, has retired. Mm-hmm. So he's got some building to do. We'll see if he can get it done, but I do like his confidence.
Yeah, especially just because you did mention Watt there on the defensive side of the ball. That is an issue. Like, their defense is largely devoid of talent. But fortunately, you are bringing in a guy who's a former defensive coordinator who is known for building culture and being a good communicator. So all things that are going to be really, really important for him moving forward. Now, obviously, he just had an appearance in the Super Bowl where his defense got beat up. But throughout the course of the season, they were top two in the entire league. He turned that defense around from one that was not good to top 10 2 years ago to top two this year. So speaking of the Super Bowl, did you see former ESPN John Skipper? Do you see his comments about the Super Bowl?
I didn't.
Well, let's take a listen to this, because as somebody who wants the Super Bowl to be accessible for everyone, because it is as it should be, I'm not sure I like the thought process of him just talking about billions of dollars being left on the ground floor. But here's John Skipper's opinion on what should happen with the Super Bowl in the future.
Why wouldn't they? I mean, if you just assume that half of the people watched would still figure out a way to watch, if it costs $200, $250 for a household, you're just going to have more of what David said. You can have bigger parties, which is, I don't know how many households. It's I assume half the households in the United States watched. If it was only a quarter of the households who were willing to pay $250 to have a party at their house, it would still get you into the billions of dollars for a single game. And that is the single best way I can think of for the NFL to increase their annual revenue take for their clubs, is to make the Super Bowl a pay-per-view event.
I didn't tee that up great, but it was in reference to what he said there at the end, to turn the Super Bowl into a pay-per-view. That was on the Lebatard show on Meadowlark Media, by the way. But I hate that.
That would be the that would be the most greedy thing the NFL has
That's
done.
What I was gonna say. You
and
make
they've
it
done
seem
a
like,
lot of greedy stuff.
You make it seem like the National Football League is hurting for cash. I think they're doing okay.
First of all, with all the streaming platforms now, I don't know that it would be worth the, because it would not be received well in the public. I don't think so. If you look at boxing, if you look at UFC, like all those sports who put their main events on pay-per-view, I mean, those numbers are way down. Now that people have all these streaming services where you can circumvent having to actually pay for the pay-per-view, like that would be a travesty. I hope the NFL doesn't do that. They're making enough money, trust me.
Well, and I feel like audience, like viewership in general, like you're getting more fans every year. They keep on talking about the growth of female fans specifically as well, that number keeps going up and up. It's like, I don't think that you're hurting for fans. I don't think you're hurting for revenue. And I think if anything, you're just going to anger your fan base who wants to watch this game and have them not interested in it. Like, how many people this year did not care about the Eagles and Chiefs, but watch the Super Bowl because they're betting on it, because it's a fun social thing to do? I don't think that, I think you'd be hurting yourself a little bit. Yes, you'd be filling your pockets, but you'd be hurting yourself a little bit with charging people for this.
Yeah, I just think
the cost-benefit analysis makes sense.
The groundswell of negativity that's going to come at the NFL for that, I think, would be substantial.
People hate Roger Goodell enough.
It's enough that a ticket's, you know, $2,000 now to go to
for
the game.
For real.
Parking's $500. Like, I mean, come on. Now you're going to make
in Vegas, you can't even park.
Yeah. Let's not get carried away.
Okay, last couple minutes here, since we're talking football still. Between Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr, who do you think ends up on a team first?
Derek Carr, because Aaron is still in the room with the lights off.
The Prince of
Darkness.
So
I'm pretty sure, like, part of this is not having access to your cell phone. So I don't think he's available, so he can't even respond to the Packers right now. And you would have to think that Derek Carr is actively trying to get all the offers on the table so that he can make a decision. Because money is going to play a role in this for Carr.
The Jets, I would imagine, are the belle of the ball in terms of teams that you would want to go to, whether you are Rodgers or Derek Carr. But if you're Carr, don't you kind of have to wait and see? Because you'd imagine the Jets would want to take Rodgers before they would take him.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
That's what I'm just at. Like, is it more beneficial for?
I would think I would want to get out of the AFC. there are enough quarterback needy teams in the NFC. I'd want to get out of the AFC. I think the easier path to a Super Bowl is through the NFC.
The New Orleans Saints, who Derek Carr did have a couple of meetings with already, just didn't agree to a trade with the Raiders, which who could blame him, considering you're not going to want to take draft capital away from the team that you're going to, and you're not going to want to give the Raiders anything after the way that they have treated you and dogged you, kicking you on the way out, essentially. But the Saints are the favorite at 3-1 to be where Derek Carr takes his next snap. The Jets there plus 330. And then let's keep it rolling in the NFC South. The Bucks plus 450, Panthers at 5-1. And then a team that we had talked about a little bit earlier this week too, in the Atlanta Falcons, 22-1. You don't think necessarily Desmond Ridder is the guy?
No, not if you want to keep your job. But I don't like the Saints for Carr because Michael Thomas is always hurt. Taysom Hill's not really a guy. And Alvin Kamara still has this nightclub thing in Vegas that's about to probably have him miss some, if not all, of this upcoming season, most likely.
We have to take a quick break, but did you know Daytona 500 around the corner coming up Sunday? Daniel Trotta of SiriusXM NASCAR Radio is going to help us break it all down coming up.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
What's going on, sports fans, as the football season comes to an end? Don't forget, Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook is the place to be for basketball and hockey. Bet Rivers has you covered for every line, odd, and boost. You can join us every week for new promotions like the Tuesday Hockey First Goal Insurance, Saturday Hockey Same Game Parlay Bet and Get, Weekly Pro Basketball Bet and Get, and more. Check out BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app. It's a whole new game. Sean King, you were just in the commercial break talking to me about how your hockey evening went, highs and lows last night.
Yeah, highs and lows, some good, some bad. I did ultimately hit a parlay late. I didn't give it out on the show because I did not intend to play it, but I put together Kraken in regulation. They won with ease. I had Arizona, my college basketball play that I did give out on the show, and then I had, which was never in doubt, and then I had the Golden Knights in regulation, and it was 1-1, and it was winding down, and the Golden Knights came through for me with like 20 seconds left in regulation to close out the parlay. So, nice hit.
That's why you play to the whistle,
that's
right?
That's why I don't advise doing parlays. Like, I mean, they're always stressful, and it generally goes the other way for you. So, what would have been a 2-1 night if I had lost would have been a 0 night.
It's nice. Yesterday, for like the first time in the history of history with me, I had a no sweat evening. It was a beautiful thing. We'll talk a little bit more.
That's what happens. The good karma when you're working with me. You see how it rubs off?
We'll talk about that a little more in pocket at the end of the show. But hey, race season is firing up. The Daytona 500 coming up this Sunday. The 65th annual running of the Great American Race. Going to be a complete sellout in the grandstands and the field. It's going to be awesome. To help us break it all down, we welcome in Danielle Trotta of SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, host of On Track weekdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, alongside Daytona 500 winning crew chief Larry McReynolds. What's going on, Danielle? Thank you for joining us.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm down here in Daytona. The beach is right behind me. You can't see through the curtains here in my hotel, but it's beautiful, sunny, and we love sunshine and fast race cars. So Daytona's shaping up to be a great weekend.
Absolutely. Going to be a special event, no doubt. And another year, another front row spot, it appears, for Alex Bowman, who edged out Kyle Larson for the pole, grabbed a record 6th straight front row start at qualifying. Both Hendrick Motorsports drivers, though, what's the outlook for the two of them come Sunday and this season, too?
I think Hendrick Motorsports, they historically qualify really well for the Great American Race. They put a lot of emphasis as an organization on getting the pole and sweeping the front row. They've done it once again. I do wonder, though, sometimes if you sacrifice a little bit of qualifying speed for race setup, because Hendrick Motorsports has not won this race in 9 years. The last time they did it was 2014 with Dale Jr., who's no longer driving in the sport at the top series. So it's been a long time. We don't have to remind them of that. I've heard from the top down, Mr. Hendrick himself has said, let's focus a little bit more on race handling. I didn't see it last night in the duels. They had outright speed in qualifying. Now, maybe they played chicken and hung out in the back a little bit in that qualifying race to save their car and not get wadded up in a wreck. But I like playing the long game. I think it's great to have speed for Alex Bowman and Kyle Larson and win the pole for the 500. It's a snazzy headline. But I like being a better race car for 500 miles on Sunday. And we just haven't seen these guys be there up front at the end to win this race. The Fords, to me, looked the fastest in the qualifying races last night.
Okay, well, talk us through that. If there are some names and drivers or teams that you think have the best opportunity come Sunday.
Yeah, I think the Fords are really fast. And the Fords have won 4 out of the last 10 Daytona 500s. Chevrolet and Toyota are close with 3 apiece. But the Fords historically are fast and they race really well. And we saw that again last night with Joey Logano from Team Penske and Eric Almirola from Stewart Haas Racing, both winning their respective duel races. The duels are each, they're 2 separate races, 60 laps apiece, and they help set the final field for the Daytona 500. So now we know officially where everyone's going to start Sunday, but these guys also don't have any practice. So they use last night's qualifying races as practice. How do they draft somebody? Are they a good pusher? Are they a better leader? Are they a better follower? What line is fast? The inside, the outside. The Fords had good moves. They were fast. They were up front all night. They were leading laps. I like the guys like Joey Logano, who's a Daytona 500 champion. Ryan Blaney, who's finished second twice in this race. They looked really, really good. I thought Eric Almirola, Kevin Harvick, 2 more Fords from Stewart Haas Racing looked excellent. So I really like where some of these guys' odds are at. In the Toyotas, Bubba Wallace, I thought, was incredibly skilled last night. He was up front mixing it up with these Fords. He's finished second out of the last 3 years. Do not overlook Bubba Wallace. And then his boss, Denny Hamlin, at 2311. He drives for Joe Gibbs, but he's won the Daytona 500 3 times, mm-hmm. So it's hard to leave out Denny.
Yeah, looking at past history, nobody comes in stronger than Denny Hamlin, it appears. 3 wins at Daytona, been at victory lane in this race. Austin Dillon, who you mentioned, and Kevin Harvick, also with multiple wins. And Harvick's, this is his final start at the Daytona 500. One of the best to do it. I know there's a lot of people rooting for him, but do you think that he can win it?
Mm-mm. He's done it before, and I was talking to some of his people last night. I said, how's Harvick feeling? And they said, I don't think he's going to leave anything on the table. Now, that's in terms of rivalries. If somebody doesn't race him fairly, he's not wasting any time getting back. Like, I just think Harvick is like a different guy. He's a man on a mission. It's his final Daytona 500. I think he's going to play it smart. I think he's going to be there at the end. And I go back to the Fords. He's in one of those Stewart Haas Racing Fords. He was running top 3, top 4 in his respective duel all last night. So I definitely could see him getting it done on Sunday.
You know, it's interesting. I have been to the Daytona 500 twice, Danielle, but I will be honest. The hydration started early, and it continued from start to finish, so I don't actually remember watching a whole lot of the race. But talk us through, like, the fan experience of actually being there.
This is a sellout crowd for the 6th consecutive year, I believe. Everything sold out. I drove in, got here on Wednesday, and the campers, I'm sure you saw that. Like, just
everywhere,
the campground, everywhere, and every campsite, like, the families, they set up a party. Like, it's just a massive party, and NASCAR fans are friendly, so they'll be like, hey, what's up, come have a drink, come hang out, come play cornhole. Like, it is just one big party. It doesn't matter who you root for. Like, I think maybe a tailgate at a football game sometimes is like a little, you know, you're the Patriots and we're not kind of thing. In NASCAR, it doesn't matter who you cheer for. I feel like everyone just wants to drink and have a good time and and party together. You do have to pace yourself, because it was very smart. That's smart option, because it's a very long day.
Just one of the many elements that makes the Daytona 500 so special. Do you have, like, a favorite Daytona, like, memory or a race winner that stands out to you?
Yeah, the last time I was talking about Dale Jr. won the 500, I was there covering it, and I saw him up front in the closing laps and I thought, I want to like feel the roar. There's nothing like an Earnhardt roar when they're leading at Daytona or Talladega, like his father, Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Dale Earnhardt Jr. just iconic. And so they just have such a groundswell in terms of fan support. So I kind of like snuck up, came down from the press box. And when he took the lead and won that race, like the grandstands, I felt like they were waiting. Like I'd never experienced anything like that. I mean, it was, the sound was deafening, the energy electric, the love for an Earnhardt winning at Daytona, which, you know, tragic place that his father lost his life in 2001. So it holds a lot of meaning and sentiment to the fans. And so they want to see Junior have success at that track. And looking back, knowing it was his last Daytona 500 win made it that much more special.
You know, it's interesting talking about Dale Sr. He was my favorite driver. My television at the time, this had to be like early 80s, mid 80s. I was a little kid. And there was this yellow and blue Wrangler number 3, which is what he was driving. This is before he went to the black, I think Goodrich number 3. So I was a big Dale Sr. fan.
That's awesome.
You're bringing me back now. you're throwing it back. Iconic.
Is there a budding superstar? We got like about 45 seconds left. Is there a budding superstar to kind of take over NASCAR to become like the Dale Earnhardt, the Richard Petty, you know, of this era?
The next guy. Yeah, I really love Tyler Reddick. He just joined 2311 Racing. He's part of the Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin brand now. I think he's a star, really. I think he's the complete package. Watch out for the defending Truck Series champion, Zane Smith. He just qualified last night in his first Daytona 500. It's like a quarterback, and I'm watching them graduate college and enter the draft knowing they're going to be the number one pick. Yeah. And all the buzz is about this kid. It's Zane Smith. Like, everyone is talking about how bright the future is for him.
Danielle, you're amazing.
Great
Thanks so
stuff,
much for
Danielle.
Your insight.
Thank you.
You guys are so much fun. Come down to Daytona
next
year and we'll upload you together.
Yes. I need to get out there.
I'm all for it.
Danielle Trotta, everybody, killing it. SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. We will see who takes home the Harley J. Earl Trophy come Sunday.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Win Some, Lose Some is presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com.
Were you a winner last night?
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Wow, winning. Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Pauly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
All right. right, everybody. Stormy Bonantoni and Sean King in for the guys today. Let's get into some of the plus money tickets that cashed last night. UTSA, a 5-1 ticket coming in. They were an 11.5-point dog in this one. End up beating Rice by 5, 84-79. North Florida cashes at plus 260, beating Lipscomb 114-111. Kennesaw State beat Liberty 88-81. Plus 210. Lots of tickets cashing in college hoops last night, Sean.
Yeah, the dogs were barking, man. The road runners, beep, beep, getting it done. Should Lipscomb be that bigger favorite over anybody? I mean, Lipscomb, I don't know if it's a destination spot for elite basketball talent, but shout out to North Florida.
It sounded like you had a little bit of a speech impediment trying to say Lipscomb.
Yeah, Lipscomb. Like, you know,
it doesn't roll off the tongue very naturally.
One of the PAs at my previous job at NBC was from Lipscomb. He was always bragging about him. But I think they're good in hockey. I didn't think it was basketball.
Okay. The Cougars were a 5-point favorite against Santa Clara. They can't get it done, falling 81-74. Santa Clara, plus 175 tickets coming home. Wichita State as well, plus 175. They were getting 4.5 points at Temple. Get the job done, 79-65. UNC Asheville wins at Radford, 63-54, getting plus 165 tickets home. And how about this one? Unranked Middle Tennessee State, plus 160. They knock off number 25, Florida Atlantic, 74-70. First win for the Blue Raiders over a ranked opponent since 2016, Sean.
Ooh. Better get a raise now, whoever the coach is.
Get her done. Colorado, plus 155. They were a 4-point dog winning at Arizona State. North Alabama beats Bellarmine 70-57 at plus 155. And I know you don't like to see this one in the NHL, Sean.
This one hurt. Like, I don't know what's going on in the first period, but the last couple nights, you know, my hockey teams have, like, been sleepwalking through the first period. But I'm not going to harp on the bad. I'm going to harp on the good. Look at Coach Prime's impact at the University of Colorado, even making the basketball team better.
Look at you go. Look at you go. Okay, let's get to the videos, see what we have here. Oh, the court storm. Get out there. Yes. Okay, so last night, in case you missed it, Maryland, when we were talking to you on the show yesterday, was a 2-point underdog taking on Purdue. They ended up closing a 1.5-point favorite, knocks off number 3 Purdue, and boy, were they quick to the court last night. It's like every time you knock off one of those big teams, you have to do it.
I mean, that's embarrassing. I mean, come on, Purdue.
That's embarrassing?
Really? It's not like Purdue's a defending champ. It's not like they've been the number one all year. This is their first loss. Like, come on, this is a little too much. But somewhere my old producer, Aaron Oster, is smiling right now, so I'm okay with it. He's a Maryland grad.
I like this as a Maryland team that's trying to build a new culture. They're doing come on. Why are you sipping on the Haterade every day?
I'm just saying.
First you don't like the suit, now you don't like the court storm.
I
like this.
You gotta save the court storming for, like, big events, like huge occasions. Like, next year when you say we knocked off the number one team last year, they're going to be like, which one of the 12?
That's all right. I do agree with that argument. Okay, what else we got here in Winsome? Speaking of knocking out.
Uh-oh.
Conor McGregor knows something about that. Arriving in style at the UFC Apex here in Las Vegas. He's back, baby. Going to be a coach in Ultimate Fighter. I talked to Dana White when we were down in Phoenix over Super Bowl. And he said, everyone, all eyes are going to be on Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler. It's going to be a fun one. When they go, they're going
to
go.
I mean, shout out to the tailor. I like the suit. Did he get more bow-legged since the last time we've seen him? I mean,
you don't think that suit looks a little tight?
Well, he's a skinny pair. I can't pull those off. But, I mean, it works for him. Glad he's back. UFC misses him.
Yeah. Trash talking. You know that's what's happening. All right. Did you see, I was very excited, that Travis Kelce is going to be a host of Saturday Night Live coming up March 4th. That is going to be awesome. He's such a character. I feel like that'll be tremendous.
He's got to open the show. Isn't that what he did at the... People were hating on him, right?
Like that.
Yeah, he's got to open the show with that. Like, that's his new thing. sort of like Jeezy with the ad-libs when he was at his height, like the rapper. Like, that's Kelsey's ad-lib.
You know there's going to be a WWE skit in there somewhere.
Absolutely. Live your life, man. I'm happy for Travis.
Awesome.
He seems like he has a lot of fun.
He absolutely
does. He's like
does.
Rob Gronkowski, too.
He loves him a microphone. I think that's going to be a blast. Okay, last one here. Something about Nathan McKinnon. I don't know what this is, but Nathan McKinnon, I will trade you my mom's number for your stick. You go, boy. He's taken, but
he's actually really good at hockey too. So
that is an epic sign.
He's one of the
well
few,
done.
He's one of the, great job by the young man. I hope mom signed off on it first, and then I hope dad isn't in the picture because I don't know if Lil Sean is giving out my wife's number for a stick. I don't
not
know
good.
If I. Oh yeah, right. That's not probably a good thing. But I will say this: I'm a big Nathan McKinnon fan. He's probably one of the few players in the NHL that I think would start for the Lightning. So,
oh my gosh. It always comes to
right.
So annoying. Win some, lose some, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook, where if your first wager loses, receive a free bet equal to your stake up to $500. Learn more at betrivers.com. So I'm trying to think, like we talked about, it's very cool that Travis Kelce is going to be hosting Saturday Night Live coming up. And like, I'm trying to think of other athletes I would really want to see in that host role. Like, who do you think would come out and just crush a monologue or do the fun videos? I don't know.
I do think Brady has like that same Peyton Manning. Like, you know how Peyton has like that relatable humor?
Well, Peyton definitely had he would be the best,
right?
Especially when it comes to football, the best host that they had when he's chucking the football at little kids,
right?
And like just hysterical.
I think Brady's got a little bit of that, kind of can laugh at himself, you know, to him, but he's still a super, super celebrity. So, like, I think it would go well.
I think that could work just because someone else is writing it for him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure he himself is funny, right? Like, because what was he in
they're
Ted?
Not gonna let him, like, they're not going to let him fail.
He's had good cameos and stuff like that. He's taken the year off before he starts his new Fox journey.
I'd like to see
time for family, but so that he can also, you know, learn how to do the job and stuff. I think he's very funny when his social media team has crafted things for him, or when he's hammered drunk celebrating a Super Bowl win.
Right.
But I don't know.
Throwing the Super Bowl trophy.
Yeah, I wouldn't sign him up for like ad-libbing as much, but if something's written for him, yeah, I could see that.
I'd love to have Aaron do it. At minimum, we get to laugh at him, if not with him. So, I mean, that'd be great. He can talk about, like, they can cut all the lights off in the studio, and he can kind of talk us through, like, his experiences.
I wonder if the producers would let him do that. Our producer wouldn't let us.
Yeah, we tried to do it yesterday. We tried to, like, really get in the moment and do the show in the dark.
Just a little bit. Just turn the lights off for a minute. We'll just welcome everybody back. Like, oh, I didn't see you there. Nope, that idea got shot down. I'm an idea man. What can I say? What about in the NBA? Any basketball players we could see doing this?
I feel like Steph Curry kind of has, like, you can see him being funny. And he's a big enough celebrity.
Draymond. See,
nah,
he's not a big enough celebrity yet.
I'm not a big Draymond guy.
Did Shaq ever host SNL?
I'm sure. And he's always good at everything he does.
Barkley did, Dustin says. I feel like that would be funny.
Yeah.
I'm sad that I don't know of any of the skits that he did, though. That's another thing I'm trying to think out. Travis Kelce, what would be a good skit other than, you know already that they're going to have something WWE built in for him, but what else would he be able to do? He could probably do a good girl voice, like dress him up. Did you ever watch those, what's his name? Channing Tatum.
Right.
When he was on with like Jimmy Fallon and they would dress up in the wigs and do the ew girl one. That is hysterical. I feel like Travis Kelce would be really good at that.
If
you haven't seen it, I'm going to YouTube it for you in the commercial.
Okay, show it to me in the break. I definitely think there'll be some kind of Eminem skit where Travis is being Eminem. He's losing himself, right? Because that kind of fits like his energy, right? Like he seems like, you know, he's into the urban music, the rap scene. So maybe put some dreads on or something, comes out as like a little baby or one of those guys. You know what I mean? I mean, the sky's the limit because he does like to have fun. And that's a big part of doing it. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing. I feel like he'll be a good host because he'll make it fun. He'll laugh at himself, which is priority one. He'll probably, I like when they break character, when they can't hold it in. And so I can see that for sure.
Mahomes would have been great. I can see him walking out, smoking on that SNL, you know, emulating his dad.
I still cannot get over Patrick Mahomes' dance moves from the parade, or the linebacker who scaled the side of the fire truck at the parade.
I think they had quite a few guys that were pretty hydrated. I saw Justin Watson in being assisted leaving the parade.
That was it. Oh, there, we're taking us out with the dance moves. What in the world?
Pulled up with my ceiling missing.
So much fun. Hey, you're the champ. You can do whatever you want. Tom Brady threw the Lombardi trophy from boat to boat. Let Patrick Mahomes do what he needs to do.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.